Hello and welcome to the PeopleCert Third Quarter 2021 Results Call. My name is Judy and I'll be the coordinator for today's event. Please note that the call is being recorded, and for the duration of the call, your lines will be listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions at the end of the call. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad at any time. If you require technical assistance, please press star zero and you will be connected to an operator. I would now like to hand you over to your host, Byron Nicolaides, CEO, Founder, and Chairman, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining after Easter. I hope you had a good Easter. I'm here together with George, our CFO, to present the Q4 as well as fiscal year 2021 results. We've uploaded the presentation, and if we go to page number three, you see the presenters is myself and George, and we have four mini sessions. One is the key fiscal year 2021 highlights. Then George is going to talk about the financial performance. I will give you at the end the synergies update, and then it's going to be followed by a Q&A session. Moving on to slide number four, an overview, and this is slightly different than what we have seen before because we have been presenting PeopleCert before the acquisition as an EdTech company in the area of exams delivery and certifying persons. As a result of Axellos acquisition, we are revisiting the approach we take and the definition of what we do, because right now we have become a significant IP owner, and the question for us becomes to how to manage and monetize the IP. So this is still work in progress, but we are moving from what I just described to you to a vertically integrated IP consolidator responsible for skilling the global community. This is not final, but this is work in progress. And of course, we are the leader in the IT and project management certification markets on best practice, at the same time having a significant presence, and we're growing very fast in the language certification market. As a result of the acquisition, our business model today is vertically integrated, and we create and own frameworks. As I mentioned earlier, we've become IT house. We manage exams and we deliver certifications. We're a flexible, highly profitable, and very cash generative business that rapidly adapted and benefited from COVID-19 changes on the way that exams are being delivered. In 2021, we delivered 683,000 exams, significantly higher than 2020. And the business is controlled 80% by myself and 20% by FTV Capital, who is our minority shareholder. Moving to slide number five. On the revenue side, we had a very good year, 2021, and this is regardless of acquisition, and also a good Q4. So our revenue was 24.6% up versus fiscal year 20, and this is 79.6 million pounds versus 63.9 million pounds. The pro forma year, fiscal year 21, which is LTM December 21, versus LTM September 21 is 1% up, and business and IT is 13% versus fiscal year 20. And this is mainly from Axelos products. The other part of the business, which is language, fiscal year 21 is 253% up versus fiscal year 20. This is on the revenue side. A good picture also on the gross profit. Gross profit for 21 is 124% up versus 20, at 48 million versus 21. And the gross margin is at 61% versus 34%. The reasons for the increase in gross profit are mainly A, contribution of higher margin products, primarily languages, and also last 5 months of the year, the elimination of Axelos royalties. We stopped paying royalties post-acquisition. And this is only for 5 months. In next year, of course, 2022 will have the full year impact of this. And the pro forma gross profit for 21 was at 72.7 million versus 73 on LTM September 21. On the EBITDA side, adjusted EBITDA, which excludes the Axelos acquisition, mainly transaction costs, for 21 was 218% up versus 20. This is 31 million versus 9.7. And the EBITDA margin is at 39% versus 15. The pro forma 21 EBITDA is plus 4% versus LTM September 21 at 50 million versus 48. And the EBITDA margin is at 62% versus 60%. The increase on EBITDA is mainly due to higher revenues and at the same time lower cost of sales and lower OPEX, which is part of the synergies we're going to describe later. The last one or two months of the year. The full effect is going to be on next year. The net debt for at the end of 21 was at 233 million, excluding accrued interest. And at the same time, we had a cash position of 18.8 million pounds. And some commercial highlights. Again, the business IT performance. Business IT is the business that is not languages. For fiscal year 21, has recovered to 2018 levels. In 2020, we have taken a dive, the Axelos business, etc. Now, we recovered to 2018 levels, and this was above our budget. And at the same time, languages continues to have a stellar performance. During the last quarter of the year, we developed the internal capability to deliver both physical and e-books as a result of an acquisition, because the books part was an Axelos business that had been contracted for many years to a publisher, to TSO. We have decided to take them internally and to develop the capability, the internal capability, replacing TSO. This was not easy, but it's done, it's been delivered, and it's without hiccups. I mean, we expected some potential hiccups, but everything went smoothly. We also completed the new infrastructure that was necessary for the 22 commercial policy that we were going to deliver all the revenue synergies. And at the same time, it was important within 2021, we delivered 110,000 English language exams after having won the two tenders in Madrid for all the primary and secondary schools. Moving to slide 6, also that's the performance of the bond. It is until the end of the year. Our bond was performing quite well in the markets. End of year was at 104, and this was naturally before the war started. More on the bond, of course, you can follow it, and we'll provide on the next update, on Q1 update, which is going to be Q1 22 update, which is going to be in approximately 1 month from now. So this is the first session. We are moving to the financial performance, to slide number 8, and I pass to George, our CFO. Thank you all for listening.
Hello, everyone. Really nice to meet you today. We are on slide 8. Here we are presenting some key KPIs to present the performance of the group in the examined period. In the left-hand side of this slide, we can see the comparison between the Q4 21 versus Q4 20. As we can see, all KPIs are improved. Revenue is up 7%, adjusted EBITDA 11%, and the adjusted EBIT 22%. This growth is coming mainly from the exam growth, as we can see in the lower part of the table. Total IT exams were up 17%, while total PM exams were up 11%, and languages 70% respectively. This exam volume growth helped us to improve our top line, but also our profitability. At the same time, we faced a small decrease in the average prices of IDLE and PRIMS 2. This is due to several factors. The three main forces that are driving prices up or down are geographical distribution, product mix, and of course the FX translation. Since we are invoicing in five different currencies and we are consolidating in British pounds. Similar picture in the right-hand part of this slide, LTM performance December versus September. Again, we have an improvement across all lines, while the average difference between the prices is minimal. Moving on to slide 9, excuse me, we can see that the 2021 performance was significantly improved compared to 2020. We are even higher. We beat the pre-COVID numbers, and the year-to-year performance increase was 20% on revenue. This is a significant slide with a key message that we are improving our top-line performance, not by moving up prices, but purely from exam growth. Moving on to slide 10. In this slide, we can see the graphical representation of the previous table we saw in slide 8. Increase 7% on revenue Q&Q, and 1% LTM September versus LTM December. Same picture in the next one, in slide 11. Here we have the exam revenue breakdown, 6% up Q&Q on IT exam revenue, 6% again on PPM exam revenue, and 74% in languages. And a similar picture in the right-hand part for the LTM figures. Moving on to the next one, here we have the PeopleCert standalone revenue breakdown for the full year 21. As we can see, exams are the main driver of our revenue. They are contributing around 8% of our total revenue, while the remaining 20% is value-added services. languages are participating with around 15%, but this percentage is growing steadily year on year. The geographical segmentation remains more or less stable, with Europe, Germany and UK having almost 6% of the total revenue, while the other major markets are USA and India. But one-fourth of our global revenue is coming from the rest of the world, and this is a really significant point, since this denotes clearly that we have a very good diversification in our revenue in terms of geography. And finally, by client segmentation, we can see that B2C is gaining steadily market share, and now is at 10%, while the remaining 9% is coming from B2B business. The exam volume breakdown practically is again the graphical representation of the table we examined earlier. So we can move to slide 14, which is an important one. We can see that our prices over the years are remaining stable, while at the same time our revenue is growing, and this means that the growth is coming purely from exam volume growth. We can see also the key part and key factor of the FX translation. As we can see in 2020, our prices translated in British pounds were significantly higher compared to 2019 and 2021. The reason behind this is that at this period of time, especially in 2020, the British pound was weaker compared to the other major currencies. And in slide 15, we have the similar graphical representation of the EBITDA and EBIT, both quarter by quarter and in LTM figures. Important slide is number 16. As we can see, in the pre-COVID period, our operating cost base was at or above £16 million every year, but post-COVID we are steadily below £25 million. Yeah, 2020 was 24.8, and 21 was 24.3, and follow and coming lower year on year. This is of course pre-synergies. We expect even higher drop in the coming years due to cost synergies. In the lower part of this graph, we can see the operating costs breakdown. The staff costs remained almost identical year on year, while we faced a significant drop in the other OPEX. And in the following slide, we are analyzing a bit our CAPEX. As you can see, our CAPEX in Q4 was a bit higher compared to the previous quarters. The vast majority of our CAPEX in Q4, as this is the case for every other quarter, is coming from intangible capital expenditure. And by this, we mean software development and product development, while 12% is coming from ROU assets, which are rights of use, mainly leases of vehicles and buildings. And 4% is coming from tangibles, mainly office equipment and computers. This concludes the financial performance review. In the remaining slides, we are representing the balance sheet, the P&L, and the cash flow. And this concludes the financial performance review. Now we can move on to the next section, which is the synergies update.
Okay.
Moving on page 22, before going to the synergies, two comments on very high level. As you can see, both on mainly on the P&L slide, 2021 was a very good year for PeopleCert. And also previously, as George Juan mentioned about the pricing, this has been achieved without us increasing the prices in 2021. And also, we have decided not to increase the prices in 22 as well. So when you see the numbers of 22 next quarter, again, it's going to be based on not increased prices. And the numbers are, again, good. So on the synergies side, there are two types of synergies that we have promised to our investors, the revenue synergies and the cost synergies. And as we stated in the prospectus, we expected all the effect of the synergies to be realized after 18 months. This means February 23. Now, I'm in a happy position to report that with the exception of one very small synergy, all the other synergies on the revenue side have been completed and are fully operational, and we're going to have the full effect of the synergies as of majority of them are going to be 1st of February, and the small amount is 1st of April. We expect the numbers that we the numbers from the revenue synergies to be higher as well, but we'll see them in the next quarters. But we delivered, and as I mentioned earlier, we delivered without hiccups. The market accepted it, the business continuing as normal. The same applies on the cost synergies. The only synergy that we did not deliver is a digital badge, and it was only 300,000. And the reason for this is that we have decided to include this in our new part of the business, which is going to be the subscription model. So deliberately, we decided not to put and not to have this revenue, but to include our in our subscription revenue. And it's worth mentioning currently there is no subscription, there is no significant subscription revenue. So it's just helping this part of the business. Now, on the cost synergies, we said that we're going to rationalize the duplicate functions. And then we're going to complete them in the 31st of March. It passed right now. So we can say right now that we are on time, and we'll give you more details on the next call. The shared service cost savings, which are important, all of them were delivered by the end of last year, much earlier, and other cost savings as well by 28th of February. Again, we are almost 1 year ahead of our schedule, and the numbers most probably are going to be bigger than we planned and we set on our prospectus. So, the synergy picture as well, as you can see here, both in terms of revenue and in terms of EBITDA. I think, again, this is a good picture. And this concludes my presentation. And I'm at your disposal. We are at your disposal for any questions you might have. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, everyone. And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question on today's call, it is star 1 on your telephone keypad. You'll then be advised when you can ask a question. Again, it is star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. So far, there are no questions in the queue, so it is star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. The first question in the queue is coming from the line of Beatrice Monti from Wellington. Your line is unmuted and you may go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I was just wondering if you can give a little bit of color on what is driving the operating costs lower.
Primarily, this is the result of removing the duplicate functions with Axelos, because we started removing the duplicate functions part of the cost synergies, and we have less people already from November, December, and you'll see a much bigger effect of this in the next quarter.
Okay, so how much of the 50 million EBITDA that you reported already, how much of that is driven by synergies?
700K.
Sorry, say it again.
I think probably, can you repeat the question, please?
Yes, the question is, how much of the 50 million EBITDA that you reported is driven by the realization of synergies?
How much of the 50 million that we report is
yes.
50 is yes. As a result of revenue synergies and cost synergies?
Yes.
That's the question.
On the revenues part, there is no synergy
yet
in 2021 figures. In the OPEX part, as you can see, we had an improvement of around £500,000 pounds year on year on our OPEX. Therefore, the contribution of the OPEX improvement is not that big. The majority of the improved EBITDA is coming from the higher gross profit and the product mix and the higher revenue. Excuse me. Yes.
Okay.
The impact of the synergies you are going to see start seeing as of Q1 next year, and it's important.
Okay, yeah, that's helpful. And last question, do you have a leverage target for maybe 2024?
We are... yes. Normally, we expect to go below 3. Maybe significantly below 3. But we are quite conservative right now, seeing all the things that the world is happening with inflation and with the war, etc. So nothing changes over there. Of course, we have been evaluating in the business plan several options, as we said, for 2022 and 23, including having an IPO. This is one of the options that we have evaluated, IPO in the U.S., Now, as you can understand, it's still work in progress and waiting to see how the situation in general, the geopolitical and the market situation, is going to clarify. Having said that, we are always will remain a conservative organization. There's no question about this.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Thank you so much for your questions. And there are no further questions in the queue, so this is the final reminder. That is star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. The next question is coming from the line of Anna Maggie from Pickett. Your line is unmuted and you may go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. I just wanted to ask if you have any impact in the first quarter or going further from the war in Ukraine. Maybe it impacts, let's say, desire of people to take language lessons, language tests, or business and IT tests.
Well, I guess we are not allowed to talk about Q1 here. I can tell you, however, things that are in public information so far. PeopleCert made a very clear decision. I think it was week one, and we suspended all business we have in Russia and in Ukraine. The impact we expect this for the whole year of 2022 is 0.3%. So the one thing I can tell here is that so far we don't see any significant impact on our business, on our revenue, and in general as a result of war.
All right, thank you very much. And the second question, can you please elaborate why you don't increase prices in 2022 with, I guess, rising labor costs and general inflationary pressure?
Yes. First of all, the announcement of the prices in our market needs to be done a few months ahead because our customers, they deliver training, and at the end of the training comes certification. So we announced the pricing the latest 2 months ahead, so this was November. And we said the new prices are going to be as of February 1st. And at that time, the inflationary pressure was not there yet, or at least it was not that visible. But the main reason was indirectly, because as a result of the synergies, we made certain things mandatory. We had also to the low, there was already an adjustment on effects, and we wanted to have a minimal disruption on the market. And that's why, that's the main reason why we kept prices the same, although the total cost to, because we made the books mandatory, etc., the cost increased. Now, the result of this is A, 2022, as we'll discuss the next quarters, is doing fine, is going well. However, this gives us leeway in 2023, so next November, to have enough room to have a price increase across the board, and have even better results in 2023. That's on the revenue side. On the cost side, inflation, of course, is going to increase a certain cost of us, especially the staff cost. But at the same time, because there are a lot of cost synergies with Axios, etc., I think we're going to manage it properly for 2022 without, again, a significant negative impact, or maybe even not negative impact at all.
All right. Thank you very much, Alexey.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your question, and there are no further questions in the queue. So I would like to hand you over back to your host.
So, thank you all for listening, and we wish you all the best, and we will meet in approximately 1 month to discuss the Q1 of 2022, and have a good day or a good afternoon, all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on today's call. You may now disconnect your handsets. Hosts, please stay connected.